He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
You can do better than that. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Our sermon text for today is from Psalm 16, where it reads, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Here ends the reading. Over the course of Lent and Holy Week, our theme has been the hand of the Lord. We have explored many ways that the Lord uses both the picture language of his hands and literal hands throughout the Bible. God uses the hand of the Lord as a constant reminder to us of just what he can do. We saw the many ways that Christ, the hand of the Lord, was at work when he saved Peter from the deep, when he defeated the devil by the very finger of God, when he healed diseases, raised the dead, and held all things in his hand. Today's Christ's ever-present hand delivers on his promises, offering us protection and guiding us to life eternal. King David, nearly 1,000 years before Christ, writes in Psalm 16, "You make me known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." David has the quiet confidence that is found at the right hand of the Lord. In the Lord's presence there is life. He is the Lord of life. How was it that David could write these words of joy and peace 1,000 years before the resurrection? What do they have to say to us now nearly 3,000 years after David wrote them? And where does this peace at the right hand of the Lord come from? Where does the peace and joy come from when David says that at your right hand are pleasures forevermore? It seems that we live in a time when peace appears to be in short supply. We've seen the hands of this world at work. Every day we see the restlessness and the anxiousness and the spitefulness and even downright hatred blasted across our screens, large and small. People are starting to recognize that there is something drastically wrong. Of course, many are quick to offer remedies with cures like self-care or do what makes you happy or any number of therapeutic fixes. You often hear, "There's nothing wrong with you. You just need to put yourself first to solve your problems and anxiousness in this life." So how do you think all this is working? Is the answer to the problems of this world just to focus on ourselves more and more? Are we to seek comfort and refuge in the work of our hands? That would make us the God of our lives. As it says in the explanation of the first commandment, to have a God means to trust in and rely on something or someone wholeheartedly to help us in times of need and to give us all good things. For God is anything or anyone in which we seek refuge. David writes in verse 4 of the psalm that the sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. David knew what hardship and heartache was. His predecessor, King Saul, tried to put him to death. His own son, Absalom, wanted to kill him. He knew the severity of the sinful work of his own hands, the internal chaos and the guilt he suffered after taking another man's wife. David knew the judgment that he deserved. And yet, in the midst of all of that, he speaks of peace and of joy. David's answer for us is not to look inside of ourselves to find our inner strength. It's not try harder. It's not grin and bear it. It has to get better eventually. David knows. David knows that the work of our hands will not do. David tells you instead to look to the one who has been at your right side all along, even if you tried to ignore him. He writes in verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. David speaks as if the Lord is there, right there by his side at his right hand. And if the Lord is with you, then you can place your confidence in him and him alone. If you know that the Lord is holding on to you, then you know nothing in this world is greater than he is. You are not alone. Even if you have neglected his presence, he has not neglected you. His promises remain true to you today, tomorrow, or no matter how long it's been. And here they are. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. The Lord is with David, holding him in his hand, the same hand who delivered Israel time and time again. The Lord who has given him the promise that even if he should die, he will be raised. He would not abandon him to Sheol. His flesh dwells secure because God has the final say about this bodily life as well. God will bring him back to life on the last day. David's hope, David's faith, David's belief was all bound up in the Lord, bound up in what the hand of the Lord can do. You see, the Psalm of David has really been pointing forward to Jesus all along. Written 1,000 years before Christ, this psalm is about Jesus' resurrection. The hand of the Lord is no vague illusion or no mere metaphor. When the Son of God took on human flesh, he took on human hands. In Christ, the hand of the Lord has become literal. Because of Jesus, we can say plainly that God has hands, real hands. Real hands that can accomplish what he sets out to do. Over the season of Lent, we've heard the many ways that Jesus uses his hands by the power of his word. He uses his hands in creating, casting out demons, healing the sick, raising the dead, washing, feeding, and yes, even being nailed to the cross. All for you. Christ came to a fallen and dismal world, a world under the curse of sin. He was delivered into the hands of sinful men. Indeed, this is the very work of our sins, our own hands. Christ's hands were nailed to the cross. He took all the world's sin and fallenness, even though he knew no sin. He became sin for us. And he took it all to the cross, where he died for it all. But that's not the end. The women carried spices to the tomb in their hands, expecting to need to add fragrance to a corrupted and decaying body. Instead, they found the stone rolled away to reveal an empty tomb. David's psalm really is about Jesus. For he says, "You will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption." David's tomb was still present at the time of the apostles to testify that he had died and had not yet been raised. But Jesus was not abandoned to Sheol, the place of the dead, nor did his body decay and see corruption. For Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. He was raised on the third day. He was raised to a new life, to never die again. This is what the angels were talking about to the women at the tomb. "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." These angels were reminding the women of the promises of Jesus, reminding them to remember his words, reminding them that his hand, the hand of the Lord, had been at work all along, and reminding them that he is alive, just as he said. "For Christ is risen. And he lives to this day. He ascended to the right hand of the Father, where he reigns over the whole world. He lives today in order to deliver that forgiveness that he has won for you. He lives today in order to deliver the forgiveness that he has won for you. You have been united with him in baptism, united in his death and resurrection. He is always with you. He will never leave your side. He is with you at all times. He hands you his very body and blood in the sacred meal for your forgiveness of sins, for the strengthening of your faith, and for life everlasting. And because Jesus is united with you, you know that what applies to his resurrection also applies to you. When he returns, he will raise you from the dead and with all believers with him to be with him forever. But even now, he has promised you that he will never abandon you. And even death does not have the final say. He is holding you in his hands, hands that still have the glorious marks that prove his love for you. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.